Psalm 116 this morning. We're going to look at the first couple verses, and I'm here to tell you, we're just trying to do what we do each and every service to get into God's Word today and to see what it has for us. I want you to realize something. There is nothing like the Word of God. I've got books in these shelves. Well, this way, I've got all kinds of books in these shelves behind me, many that you can't see off the camera. I've got books in the basement and boxes, different ones that we've even given away over the years and sold back. But in all the years and all the books that I've ever read, there's none that come anywhere near to the Word of God. There's nothing like it. You think about this psalm right here, a writer that we've never met, writing thousands of years ago, in a different language, in a different culture, and just totally different circumstances. That person could never even fathom what it would look like today with the technology that we have today. Yet this word is just as relevant today as it was the day that the writer penned it down by the inspiration of the Spirit. And you think about that. There are books, like I said, there's some books behind me that are just 15, 20 years old that are already out of date. They have to refresh and renew things, let alone thousands of years old. So I'm thankful that we can get into God's Word, and that's what we want to do. If you have your Bible, Psalm 116, starting in verse 1, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto my rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for its truth. Lord, I pray that you'd fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help me to preach your word. Lord, help me to get out of the way. Lord, I pray that you take away the distractions. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would fill the ears and the hearts of anyone listening and watching. Lord, we love you. We thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, we ask that your word would go out in power just as you promised. And we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. So like I said, we don't know who wrote this psalm. It's unclear, but one of the things you'll notice if you look at it is a very personal psalm. It's filled with I and me. The writer is talking about his personal testimony, his personal circumstance here. And I believe that this makes this psalm kind of special because you think about a lot of times when we think about God, we think about the Lord, we think about Jesus Christ, we think about how his relationship is with the church or with a group of people. But one of the things we need to realize is we need to think about from time to time, how does God relate to us individually? I want you to realize that the Bible is clear. God wants a personal relationship with each and every person. And that relationship is not based on fear. It's not based on his using his power to overcome us. It is based on love. And God, in love, sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And like we've said before, he loved us first, and now we can love him. And that's what he wants. He wants a relationship. So you look at the psalm, it starts talking about the writer's relationship, his personal relationship with God. And he starts out, I can't think of a better way to start it out with what we talked about, the God of love, loving us first, sending his son to die for our sins. And the writer says this about his relationship with the Lord. He says, I love the Lord. That's the first words in the psalm. I love the Lord. What better way than to declare declare your love for the Lord. And then it begs the question, do you love the Lord today? Do you love him? He loved you first. 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. And then Jesus Christ said this about himself in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus Christ did. And I'm here to tell you, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, know that he first said, I love you, when he died on the cross for our sins and gave his life for us so that you can have eternal life. He wants you to respond to that love, and how you respond to it is by faith. You believe that if you call upon Jesus' name and you believe that he died for your sins, he on the cross, he was buried and he rose on the third day victoriously, and believe that if you just call on Jesus' name for salvation, that he will save your soul, he will change your life. If you believe that, you trust in it, and you pray to him, he will save you. He'll forgive you of your sins. He'll send the Holy Spirit to live in your heart, and he'll make you a new creature. And I'm thankful for that. He loved us first. Do you love the Lord? If you don't, you can. And it's more than just by words, it's a relationship. And if you do love the Lord today, one of the questions is, why do you love him? Why do you love the Lord? You know, the psalmist says, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. The psalmist says, I love the Lord because he heard my prayers. I pray to God, he listened to what I said, and he responded. And that's a blessing today, that the Lord hears our prayers. There's no greater blessing. You know, you think about all the different blessings. That is a huge, tremendous blessing for us today, that God is listening to everything that we say. And when we call on him, he is there listening. But then it begs the question, if the psalmist said, I love the Lord because he hears my prayers, he hears my voice, what is your reason for loving the Lord? Have you ever had that? Remember back, some of us, it's been a little while since we were dating, but wait, if you think back in time when you were dating and someone usually says, I love you first, but did you ever have the question this, when you were going, you know, back and forth, I love you, and all of those times, did you ever have the other person say, why do you love me? Ask the question, why do you love me? What is it about me that you love? And that can be a tricky question, especially if you're thinking about it, if it's on the fly, you've been kind of surprised with that question. But let's think about this. You know, a lot of times you would answer that question to the significant other. You would say, you know, we have our common interests, and I love the fact that we can enjoy things together. I love your personality. If it's a Christian person, you know, in a Christian relationship, it should be, I love the fact that you serve the Lord, and we can serve the Lord together. But you know, you think about, why do we love the Lord? Why do we love God? This psalmist, why is he saying it? He's saying it because he heard my voice, but what about us? What is the thing that we love about the Lord? And I think about myself. I think one of the big things that I would say in answering the question is, I love the Lord because he cares about me. God deeply cares about each and every one of us. We are special to him. And you think about who God is. He's the all-powerful, the almighty. He's the eternal. He created the universe. He did all of these things. He is great. He is high and lifted up. Yet he cares about me, and he cares about you. He cares about the little things that we go through and the big things that we go through. He is a loving father. And I think if I were to answer the question, why do I love the Lord? It's because he cares about me. It is amazing how much that God loves us. And I can't get over the fact of that, why he loves us so much. And I'm here to tell you. What the psalmist said is, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. But then he goes on and he says this, because in verse 2, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. So what the psalmist is saying right here, he's saying, in the past, I prayed to God. God listened to me. He heard my cries. He inclined his ear. That's kind of like saying he leaned in close to listen to exactly what I was saying. So he would miss everything, anything that I'm saying. And because of all that, because God heard and listened and inclined his ear, that therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. I prayed to God and he heard me. He didn't ignore me. He didn't say he was too busy. He didn't make me have to talk to one of the angels instead of him. He inclined his ear unto me. Time and time again, he has done that. And because of what he's done in the past, the psalmist is saying, I can pray to him today. If I prayed to him yesterday and he heard my cries and he heard my voice, then I can pray to him today and he will still hear my prayers today and he'll hear my prayers tomorrow all the way through. I can call on his name because he listens. And you think about that. I don't know if you've been trying. Many are trying to get through and do unemployment, or maybe you're calling a company like a bank or someone else, and you're trying to call their 1-800 number. If you've been trying to do that during this last couple weeks of quarantine, you realize how long you have to wait, and maybe you get to talk with somebody, maybe you don't. See, it's because there's so many people flooding the phone lines that they're getting overrun, and then so many people aren't able to work in offices, and all these reasons are making it harder to get in touch with many of these companies and government agencies and things like that. But you think about it. Even though everyone in this world could call upon God's name all at the exact same time, and they wouldn't be put on hold, they wouldn't have to wait, they wouldn't have to talk to the receptionist, they wouldn't have to talk to some lower angel, and he would pass on the message or anything else. Every single one of us can call on Jesus' name. We can call on God and ask for help. We can cry unto him, and he will hear our voice. He'll hear our supplications. He'll incline his ear. He'll draw closer to us. And knowing that, that's what the psalmist is saying. Because of all that, therefore, I will call on his name as long as I live. He was convinced at that point that because God heard me in the past, God will continue to hear me. And that is the thing we need to get in our heart and mind and realize that God is reliable. He is dependable. Why? Because he never changes. If he listened and inclined his ear in the past, he's not going to change and shut his ear and stop listening to his children. I'm here to tell you, he listened yesterday intently. He'll listen to you today. Has God heard your prayers in the past? Has there been prayers, then been times where you've just called on his name? Maybe you've cried tears. Maybe you've been flat on your face. Maybe, I don't know what the circumstance, but you just really got through to God, not because God was hard to get through to. A lot of times it's us, hard for us to get out of the way and just focus on him and say, God, if you don't move, if you don't take care of the situation, I'm lost, I'm in trouble, I'm bankrupt, whatever, I need you to move. And God, you can do it, and you're the only one that can do it. And we do things like that in his will. He listens to our cries. And I can tell you over and over again, he's heard my prayers, and I praise God for that. And the more I think about the prayers that he has heard and answered, the more faith it gives me to pray today. And instead of me trying to fix things myself, I need to turn to God because he hath heard my voice. Thank God for that. I love the Lord. I don't know about you. I love the fact that he cares for us. I love the fact that he hears our prayers. Use that confidence of his answered prayers in the past to build your faith today. And sometimes we need to maybe write things down. Maybe you have a prayer journal, or maybe you just write things in the back of your Bible and some of those extra pages, and just say, I prayed, maybe a big prayer, and say, I prayed for this, and put the date, and then you can go back and look back and see the different things that God's done. It'll bless you. Then thank him for it after that. But we see that God hears us, and because he hears our prayers, that should drive us to pray more. But look at verses 3 and 4. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got a hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Man, look at that verse. I don't know if you really think about that verse. That psalmist, I believe, is trying to tell you that I was in a deep, dark valley, and we would say today he was depressed. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got a hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. He was in depression. And I want to be frank with you today. You know, we don't like to talk about it, especially as Christians. We don't like to talk about depression, but it's real and it happens. We get in states of mind where we get in a deep, dark time. It happens to us. And in fact, you realize it happened to men in the Bible. We've got evidence of it. We've got it in Scripture. In fact, Moses is one in Numbers chapter 11. The children of Israel that he was leading, they were lusting and they wanted flesh to eat. And they remembered what they were eating in Egypt, what they had eaten. And they were complaining because all they were getting is manna from God out of heaven. And it caused God to be angry, and Moses was frustrated with the people, and he was saying that, you know, leading these people is too heavy, it's too much of a job for me. And listen to what he said in verses 14 and 15 of Numbers 11. I am not able to bear all this people alone because it's too heavy for me. He's saying the job's too big. Look at 15. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. You know what? See, as a Christian, when we are depressed, we don't say, I don't want to die. I want to die. We don't say it like that. We're a little more spiritual than that. We say, God, will you just take my life? Take my life. Take me to heaven. And then all these problems will be gone. That's what Moses was saying right there. He was saying, kill me. I pray thee out of thy hand. And if I found favor in thy sight. Like he's saying, Lord, if I've been faithful, why don't you just kill me and take me out of here and take me home? That's what Moses was saying. Elijah, do you remember him? He's on top of Mount Carmel. God answers by fire, consumes the sacrifice. All the people fall on their faces and say, the Lord, he is God. He comes off the mountain, and Elijah, I'm sure, is expecting Israel to return to worshiping God instead of all the idol worship. But instead, Jezebel finds out. She issues a death warrant, and he's off into the wilderness under a juniper tree, and he is requesting for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And then so Elijah's doing the same thing. This is powerful men, Moses, Elijah, Jeremiah, and Lamentations. You look at the first couple chapters, he is grieving over God's judgment. He said, God, we warned them, you gave me the word, and I warned them over and over again. They didn't listen. Now judgment has come. Jerusalem has fallen. All of these warnings have come true, and they didn't listen. And he says the sorrows of death, he is saying kind of the same thing as the psalmist right here. The psalmist right here was in a depression. I don't know what the circumstances were. It doesn't really matter because he was in a period of depression. The sorrows of death can pass me, and the pains of hell got a hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. And I'm here to tell you, maybe you may be in that same circumstance. Maybe you're in that dark valley. And I'm here to tell you, don't you give up. Don't you quit. Look at the next words of the psalm right here. Then call I upon the name of the Lord. In times of trouble, who do you call on first? Do you call on your best friend? Do you call on your parent? Do you call on your spouse? Or do you call on your therapist or whoever it is, your doctor? Who do you call on? Because what we need to do is we need to call upon the Lord's name first before anything else. We need to pray out to him, and we need to say, God, here is where I'm at. You already know where I'm at, but I need me to acknowledge that I'm in a dark place. I need help from you. You're the only one who can help me, and I need you to help me right now. And I'm telling you, he brought Moses out of it. He brought Elijah out of it. He brought Jeremiah out of it. He brought the psalmist out of it. Every single one, they didn't last. They didn't stay depressed forever. They were brought up, and the joy was restored. God continued to use them and bless them, and he will do the same thing for you. Not if you try to do this on your own, not if you try to hold yourself up as if that's going to fix anything. No, we need to call upon the Lord's name in earnest and believe that he can bring us out of it. And I'm telling you what, he will. He will today. It may not come today, maybe not tomorrow, but I look in the past. He has never left me in a trial forever. He's never left me in a valley forever. And even if it lasts this entire life, there is coming a day when the Lord comes back, or he gets his church, or I die and I open my eyes in heaven. One way or another, the trials will be over. And I'm here to tell you, The weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And look at what verses 5 and 6 say. Look what he says. The Lord responded, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. When you call upon his name and you do it in earnest, he will respond with grace. That's the strength you need. That's everything you need that's for free that God gives you to help you along in this journey. And with mercy. And mercy. Forgiveness for the times that we have sinned against him. Forgiveness for the times where we've tried to do it ourselves when we should have called on his name. He brings mercy. He preserveth the simple. He supplied every need. He sustained us. He kept us going. He helped us. And that's the thing where I said, you write it down in your Bible. You write it down somewhere. Or you think about the times in the past. And you can say with a surety, just like this psalmist said, listen, I was low. I was sorrowful. In fact, so sorrowful, it felt like death was all around me. The pains of hell was all around me. My mind was ravaged. I was in a deep, dark storm, but I called on the Lord's name, and the Lord answered, and he answered with grace and with mercy. Even maybe I deserved part of the reason I was in that trial and in that depression, but instead of giving me what I deserved, God gave mercy. Praise God for that. I was brought low, but he lifted me up. He helped me up. Thank God for that. The Lord responded to the psalmist, and if you call in his name, he will respond to you too. And here's the last part of it. I kind of skipped a couple there, but you look at verse 9 there at the end. Once the Lord responds, once he takes care of us, once he does his end, and once he brings us back and helps us up and gives us grace, look at verse 9. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I'm here to tell you, Moses wanted to quit. Elijah wanted to quit. Jeremiah wanted to quit. The psalmist wanted to quit. They were all in the same circumstance. They were all depressed for different reasons. But I'm here to tell you, once the Lord lifted them up, once the Lord put them back on their feet, once he got them going again, he used all four of them to keep on going, and he will use me and he will use you. But here's the thing, he doesn't just dust us off and help us and sustain us for us to keep sitting in the cave. He wants us to get out there and do what he's called us to do. In fact, he sent Elijah out to get Elisha, a protege that he would train to be a prophet that would take over for him after God was done with him. And that's what we need to do. We need laborers for the vineyard now more than ever. We need people that are willing to get on their knees and cry out to God, cry out to this lost world. I believe time is drawing short. We need people that'll intercede, that'll text, that'll call, that'll give their testimony, that'll witness to the lost. Even in these times, you maybe have to do it a little different than you did before, but we still need to get the gospel out. We need to point people to Jesus Christ before it's too late. And I'm here to tell you, he is the one. We need to point them to Jesus, the one who hears us, the one who inclines our ears. He hears our supplications. And because of that, we love the Lord. But we don't just love the Lord with our lips and our mouth. We love the Lord with how we act. And that's what the psalmist said. Not just am I going to be glad and thankful and keep it to myself. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And I'm thankful for that. Church, we've got more work to do. We've got a lost world out here. We need to continue on this journey. Now's not the time to quit. Even if you're in a deep, dark depression, God's ear is there. His arm is not too short. He is there to respond. And in fact, many times after the trial's over, you realize how close he was anyway and how much he took care of us anyway. God is real and he is a loving God and he is there to help. But I'm telling you what, he is waiting for you to call upon him. He won't force himself on you. He won't force himself on you for salvation. He won't force himself on you when you're in trouble. In fact, when the disciples were in that bad storm and Jesus was walking on the water, the Bible says he would have passed by. He would have walked right by, except they cried out to the Lord and he saved them. He calmed the storm. And he got in the boat with them. And that's what you need to do today. Jesus is passing by. I believe it. If it feels like God is speaking to you, if it feels like someone's speaking to you, it's not me. You may be hearing my voice today, but that is God speaking to your heart. He is passing by this way. I can't guarantee he'll pass by a whole bunch more times, but he's passing by right now, and you need to call upon his name. Cry out to the Lord. He's there to help. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for its truth. I don't know who's listening. I don't know who's out there dealing with something, but Lord, I pray before it's too late, they would call upon your name for salvation. And Lord, if they need somebody, Lord, I pray that they would reach out to someone to help them through this. And Lord, I pray, I thank you for what you're doing. Send revival. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. Amen. Praise God for that. He is a good God. He's a merciful Savior.